Our epistle lesson today comes from the third chapter of Romans, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. But there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal love. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every Reformation Day, I'm stuck with a conundrum, actually two of them. The first one is simpler. Today, if you ask who Martin Luther is or was, the most likely answer you're going to get is the leader of the civil rights movement. This confusion is actually so complete that ChatGPT has trouble answering that question, or at least it did. The AI large language model would often hallucinate exactly that answer, which I suppose it shouldn't be a surprise because it was trained on our collective answers. If we are confused, then so is the AI. But that confusion of the 20th century civil rights leader for the 16th century great reformer points to my second puzzle. Just how relevant is Luther and his problems to most people today? And I go back and forth. There are days that I would answer, not relevant at all. Martin Luther's problem, he called it his Anfechtung, it sounds better in German, was sin and righteousness. He accepted the bedrock Christian teaching that we are all sinful. And what is meant by sinful is deserving of damnation. Oh yeah, Martin Luther also took it as a given that hell is a real place. That the natural place for all humanity to end up was in hell, absent some type of alien righteousness coming to us. And the deep part of the Anfechtung for Martin Luther was whatever he did, he never felt that righteousness. He did everything that his society told him that he had to do. He still didn't feel it. He felt the sin, but not the righteousness. Now, we could just write off Luther's troubles as an overly conscientious psychotic who we treat with Paxil today. There's an apocryphal story of Luther and his confessor that sounds an awful lot like that. The father confessor throws Martin out and tells him to go commit an actual sin before he comes back to confession. But that doesn't give the man, or those around him, full credit. Philip Melanchthon, Luther's right-hand man during the Reformation, would eventually eulogize the great man that the age would not have been given so severe a doctor had it not been so sick. Luther was just the man that expected the prescriptions of the age to work. And when they didn't, he would say so. And he wouldn't shut up about it. But we don't seem to be concerned about anything that Martin Luther was. We don't assume that we are sinners. In fact, we assume that we are just fine. And if you don't think we are, that's your problem. Often it's attaching some kind of invective to that, like bigot. If you can't accept me, that's your problem. We're not concerned with righteousness, at least not personal righteousness. Our righteousness, or lack thereof, comes from whatever groups we belong to. We are collectively righteous. The oppressed, or unrighteous, the oppressors. And individually, there is nothing that we can do. In fact, looking for personal righteousness is just refusing to accept and internalizing a power structure, or imposing a power structure on somebody else. And all of it is a game anyway. Because there's no such thing as hell. If there's an afterlife, God is love and he's the perfect acceptor. A game might actually be the wrong word. Hell is just the ultimate oppressor's move, the ultimate assertion of power. That my vision of right and wrong is not a temporal thing, but it's eternal. Preaching Luther's gospel freedom is either nonsensical. What do you mean you will become free? We are the children of Abraham. We are just fine as we are. It's either nonsensical because we don't believe we have a problem with sin, or it's already assumed. Of course I'm righteous, because God is love. And he just passes over everyone's imperfections. We don't hear Luther's gospel because we sometimes assume it. We assume acceptance instead of receiving absolution. And I think part of the Apostle Paul's answer to us would be, yes, there is a power dynamic involved. But it isn't mine. Or it isn't his, or his, or his, or it's the not the apostles, even. Because the Apostle Paul always insisted that he received his message straight from Jesus Christ. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. And we are under the law to the extent that we are in this world. Jesus, the one through whom all things were made, who wrote the law, was under the law when he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary. There is a power dynamic. God is God, and we are not. And even when God visited us, he did so under his own law. And not all power dynamics are unjust. The law speaks so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. God has an absolute right. If God is who he says he is, it's not oppression, but his law is justice. And what that law tells all of us, every single one of us, is that we are all in trouble. No human being has ever been justified by the law. The only real thing that comes from the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, this is where I think we as a society are in deep denial. We still deny that God is real. We will deny that he has any such right. Or we will deny that some of the rules, take the Ten Commandments as a shorthand, but take any of the law is actually God's. We just added it ourselves at some point. Conveniently, we always erase the ones that give us personal trouble. And this is where I think, or start to think, that Luther might actually have some relevance for us today. Because we would not deny it so forcefully. Yelling shut up to anyone who points out that we have no excuse because we know, if we didn't know. At a deep gut level, we know that none of us, because of the law, are accepted. No human being is justified by works of the law. None of us are just. And if we demand justice, all we are demanding is our own damnation. Coming out of the cave, coming out of denial, is leaving behind that dream of acceptance. Instead, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For acceptance, you can imagine a divine watchmaker, a world spirit, or some generic God. And you can keep that generic God at a distance because his only purpose is to accept. But the God that we have is the one that made the law. He's also the one that lived under his own law and kept it for us. The God that we have is terribly explicit and real. He drew near to us. He hung on a cross. He begged for our forgiveness. He doesn't accept. He absolves. By his wounds, we are healed. By the propitiation of his blood, we have been given grace. And that's what absolution is. Receiving a good that we do not deserve. Everything that our world puts forward You are accepted because of your works. You are accepted because of your group. You are accepted because of your specialness. You are accepted because, darn it, you deserve it. It's all a bunch of junk. What we deserve is hell. If we don't get it, that would be a mercy, at least temporarily. God might, in his divine forbearance, pass over sins. But we do not just have a God of mercy. We have the grace of Jesus Christ. We have the grace that doesn't just turn a blind eye to our failings, but a grace that gives us his righteousness. Not a righteousness of our own. We can't claim it by any justice. We are given the divine righteousness. We are declared sons and daughters of God. And we are declared heirs of the kingdom because of a very specific God, the crucified Jesus Christ. It's at the foot of the cross that we receive our absolution. If we were willing to be serious like Martin Luther, we would ask questions about what the high priests of our culture tell us is our righteousness. We would ask questions about why everything we do just seems to make things worse. We would ask questions about why we feel the need to constantly signal our virtue. We would be willing to leave behind the denial and say it doesn't work. We're never made righteous by any law. And any boasting that we do is whistling past the graveyard. The only thing that works is the blood of Jesus. You have been made righteous not by anything that is in you, but you've been made righteous from outside of yourselves. The righteousness that has now come to you in Christ Jesus, and it's yours to receive. And it's received by faith in his word. Sadly, we can turn it down. We can double down on our claims about a God we do not know. We can maintain our denial and anger at divine sovereignty. We can demand acceptance and justice, and we will get them. Acceptance into the courtroom that gives us the justice we deserve. Or we can ponder the cross. Come right here at its base and accept the absolution, the propitiation of his blood. That God's love has drawn near to us. That his love for us is not some abstract thing, but as real as a broken, bloody body. That he's not just. That his law is good, but he is also the justifier. That he has given us his righteousness. Luther wasn't psychotic. That's the crisis of every age. The stakes are eternally real. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus comes to us with absolution. Salvation unto us has come. Faith clings to that cross. Amen.